Yes, good morning, everybody, or good day, everybody. Thank you for being available on such a short notice. But of course, the last 2 days have been quite exciting for ESA, for space industry in Europe. And I'm sure that you have probably already had a couple of news coming in on what the results of the conference were. Here together with Martina, of course, with Lutz Bertling, who was in Seville during those 2 days, Kurt Melching and Günter Herbst. And I hope you had the opportunity to get access to the presentation. I would like to quickly run through the presentation and then again open up for a Q&A session. So I will quickly announce the slides. I guess we are all planning.
Ein anonymer Teilnehmer ist der Konferenz beigetreten.
Hello. So just because there was somebody calling in and out, so we have everybody online yet. We're not waiting for others, right?
No, we can start.
Good. Quickly running through the slides. And again, I think we're on loudspeaker, so everybody can speak up now.
Yeah.
That's good. So if you have something, just speak up. This is just a normal conference call. It's not let's say, an organized call. It's just a regular conference call. So as long as you don't mute your phone, we can hear you, and the other way around.
Yeah, but the only thing I have to add is that it will be recorded, or probably will be recorded, if there are no other difficulties on Telekom and German Telekom side. So maybe it is recorded.
Even another incentive to mute the call when we don't have any questions.
Mind your words.
Anyway, but what you should do, you should speak up now, should you not have the presentation. Because that's helpful. Anyway, slide two. Very quickly, of course, the conference now with its 14.4 billion commitments has been a record conference. It's not completely easy to translate the overall committed number into annual commitments, because this sometimes happens every 2 years, sometimes it happens every 3 years.
Ein anonymer Teilnehmer ist der Konferenz beigetreten.
And as you can see, the Ministerial Conference 19 was now 3 years after the Ministerial Conference 16, and that was 2 years after the 14. So obviously, if you do longer intervals, the amount, the overall amount is getting higher. On an annualized basis, the Ministerial Conference this time, and I'm taking this just from ESA's press conference last evening, was 4.3 billion on an annualized basis. The Ministerial Conference 2014 was specific in that sense, that this was only, or mainly, a launcher conference with out of the 5.9 or something like 4 billion was around Ariane. So this was not a full-size conference on all the topics. So it's not completely fair to look at this chart. Again, 3 years is not 2 years, but it's about 4.3 billion. The name of the conference was Space 19 Plus, and that obviously tells the story of the conference. And the narrative of the conference was inspiration, competitiveness, responsibility. I guess this also tells its own story. So, but the bottom line again is that Europe has been very engaged. The European Space Agency, as a specific organization. Because this was a conference by the European Space Agency on Ministerial Council, having nothing to do with the European Union. That's a separate organization. That's an intergovernmental organization where the, on ministerial level, the countries, the 22 member states, are represented and negotiating, committing. It's made it very well. But again, not to confuse with the European Union, which is on the same, actually the same days, has also made important decisions with the confirmation of the new commission. The results are quickly summarized on slides 3 and 4. And if you look at slide 3, you see the 14.4 billion total subscriptions, and it breaks down through the different areas. The biggest one, and obviously the one that also for us is the most important one, is Earth observation. Those are a number of satellites, satellite programs that look down to the Earth and monitor. biggest one out of this 2.5 billion is the Copernicus with roughly 1.8 billion. That's the biggest size. And Copernicus also, and I will get back to that, being a positive surprise in the sense of what West has been committed. So Earth observation was very strong. The second largest one was space transportation. That basically is the Ariane system, Ariane 6, Vega C, being the also a positive surprise for me was how solid the support for space transportation was. Number three was the human and robotic exploration program, about 1.95 billion. We'll come to that later as well. And then followed by telecommunications, actually by science first, 1.7 billion roughly. This is also good for us, and telecommunication, 1.5 billion. But you see the chart showing where the money goes. Then on the next chart, you see where the money comes from. The different member states, and Germany this time with 3.3 billion, significantly larger than France, the largest contributing country. And this is a leading role overall. This is just the accumulation of all the commitments. You see significantly also, of course, France, Italy strong with 2.3 billion. Also the United Kingdoms, and by the way, as I said, having nothing to do with the European Union. Brexit has no impact here. Brexit does not change the membership of the European, of the United Kingdom in ESA, and following the other countries. For us, significant. Belgium had a strong commitment with more than 800 million. That was good. Even Czech Republic, we're very happy to see 150 million from Czech Republic. Luxembourg was pretty strong with 129 million for a very small country. You see it investing on the same level like Denmark, which I find for a country that is only basically one-tenth of Denmark, very significant. So that was good for us. Overall, I was quite happy to see this coming together. And this was, as I showed earlier, invested in four lines, as the whole ministerial conference was talking about the applications, and that looks down to earth and does useful things on the ground, like climate surveillance, like telecom. Safety and security, protecting Earth from outside, of course, for us, asteroids, but also other things in there. Science and exploration, that means going out there, understanding the universe, understanding where we come from and where we go to. And enabling and support, as they call it. It's a funny name for the activities in there. Mainly it's launchers, mainly it's rockets, but obviously the rockets are enabling space exploration, space failing in general, because you have to get there, and that's more or less the name for the Ariane 6 and Vega stuff. So quickly I run through the slides on the different segments. Copernicus 4.0, this has been pushed by us a lot. Bottom line is, in the green chart, is that now we feel that the subscription, which are significantly over the budgeted number, are sufficient to realize the new six missions, all of them. This has been questionable. There have been rumors, if not enough money, maybe we can only do five, and then which one, and so on and so on. But now the bottom line is, it's pretty, we are pretty optimistic that all six missions will be implemented. We are bidding on three of them as a prime, and we're bidding one as an instrument. Obviously, we're aiming to lead two missions, but of course, it's all competitive. It's all a big fight. We're currently preparing proposals, and I'm sure others are also preparing proposals at this time. So this will be competitive, and it will be decided next year. We have a couple of missions we like better, the bigger ones obviously, but mostly we like to do those missions that have a sustainable, operational, permanent scenario in front of them, because then we expect to have, like we experienced in Galileo, and we expect to have more satellites following and following and following. And that obviously is, for us, that's not a secret, that CO2 mission that is our main desire. Doesn't mean that we get it. It will be certainly on other people's list also the main desire. So this is we feel the most competitive, most fought over mission. On the segment application, also the funding for phase three of the Electra, the co-funding. This is just a co-funding in the range of roughly 50 million euro to the implementation of the Electra mission with a new operator. The total volume of that mission is in the range of 200 million and roughly 50 million conference on top to make it happen, and that's for us very important for the demonstration of the electric propulsion platform that we have been developing since a couple of years. The next slide, 8, in the segment safety and security, of course, the main mission for us is the HERA mission is fully funded. It's actually a little bit over, just a little bit. It's significantly oversubscribed. So since it was divided in two phases, and since the first phase is oversubscribed, obviously we can now immediately start with the implementation, and maybe if everything goes well, the second phase might be a little bit lower than expected that follows. HERA is a mission that has been already competitive, so we won the competition some time ago, even before the money was finally committed, we won the competition, but that means we can now immediately start implementing it. We have to adapt the team to the now resulting geo-return. So obviously, since a country like Italy invested significantly more, we have to allocate that. Belgium is invested more than I expected, so we have to reallocate the funds that it fits with the so-called geo-return. But that's on a good way. Telescope, one telescope has also been confirmed in terms of financing from our Milan branch. Next slide, 9, Lagrange mission, where we are a prime contractor, which is in the same safety and security domain, but it's a space weather. And space weather, what they call space weather, is basically the impact of the solar activities that hit Earth and then obviously have impact here, like the Polarleuchten. I don't know what that is in English. Polarleuchten is stuff that you see light. Whatever. It's a nice name, and we all know it when it comes up. I know. Anyway, this mission is uncertain. The United Kingdom subscribed quite heavily. Germany was not investing at this stage, so we feel that this probably will just start with the instrument preparation under the British leadership. Moving on to the next slide, 10. That is for the space debris. My understanding is that this also this Adriot mission will be realized. It came together. This is under Swiss leadership. Swiss, Switzerland invested heavily. From our side, Sweden is quite significantly involved, and I think even Germany invested some, so we'll find out exactly how this will be part, but there is some part. Slide 11, on the exploration site gateway. This is one of the things that we were not so happy with the outcome, because Germany only did a very modest contribution and targeted that for small and medium-sized companies. So it's not, at this stage, at this ministerial conference, it's not obvious that we will be a significant part of the gateway. But obviously, we'll take more ministerial conference to build the gateway, and we hope that in the future might also open up as an opportunity for us. On the Mars robotic exploration on slide 12, Germany made a moderate contribution to the Mars sample return mission, and since we are in charge of ExoMars 2016 and ExoMars 2020, we are the leading German company for Mars exploration. We are quite confident that we will have a participation now in the Mars sample return mission. Obviously, at a modest volume, since Germany had only subscribed at a modest level. So first, let's finish ExoMars, and then let's do Mars sample return. And as the name said, it's a pretty sophisticated mission. Fly to Mars, get some sample from the ground, and fly it back to Earth. It's not a quick or cheap mission, but that will take quite a long time. I'm concluding with the launcher on slide 13. They call it enabling and support. Of course, it was about the transition of Ariane 5 into Ariane 6, and also the market entry of the Ariane 6. Significant budget has been created. I'm very happy with the volume of this budget. This is very good for our Augsburg facility and the aerospace. We will have a couple of new developments starting for improvement the Ariane 6. It seems that on a kick stage for the Ariane 62 configuration, There is now a competition fully funded between us and ArianeGroup to go for this kick stage, so it's another competitive opportunity for us. I see there was also significant, I mean, but I think in the range of 28 million was subscribed by Germany for the introduction of Micro Launcher, another commercial launch system next to Ariane and Vega system into the market. It obviously holds opportunities for our Micro Launcher initiative. I'm surprised that that was so significant, actually. This is not changing our strategy on Micro Launcher, that we will be industrially funded, we will industrially develop it, but obviously some technology development support support activities would be helpful and, of course, would be very much welcome to us. So this concludes quickly my run-through, and I'd like to hand it over maybe to Lutz if you have any more comments, because Lutz was there. He was witnessing it all and can give you a flavor of what happened in the last 2 days.
Yeah, the flavor is perhaps, if we start with this, flavor is that the German handled it very well, but in between we became very nervous. Actually, there's four rounds of where companies can subscribe, one on the day before the ministers arrive, then one in the morning, one in the afternoon of the first day, and the final one on the second day of the ministerial conference with the ministers in the morning. And up to the night before the last round, we could have got some gray hair because the Germans have held back lots of them of their budgets, so they were significantly below France, more on the level of UK at that point in time. And then in the very last round, they played a very good game. So I need to say chapeau for the way the Germans negotiated. Very well done. Not all the other countries were super pleased, but at least there was lots of respect, I would say, for the way the Germans have done it. And with 3.3 billion, obviously, for the first time, very clearly in the lead, half a billion higher than France, that's really a bit nice. For us, very well, very good as well, that Italy was so strong. Because of our Italian presence and the involvement of Italy in Panicus, where overall Italy was strong, particularly Panicus, Italy was strong, and this helps us because Italy is one of the patients where we will be very strong in Copernicus. That's a bit more, give you a flavor and the situation. We have a few figures which are not final, but have been announced as such verbally by ESA directors, so they should be very close to me. On the HERA, the asteroid mission, our game of us, industry, and this is actually our mission, so if it comes then it goes to us, it's direct negotiation. The HERA mission, we had a target of a subscription of 120 million. We ended up with 158, plus another 13 million, which are committed to come after the conference. The special thing for small countries, they can even put money conditionally, depending on government approval. So minimum 158, it might become 171 compared to 120 targeted, so very safe. And the second figure, which I would like perhaps to mention, is the one on Copernicus, where the target was to go to 1.4 billion, and we are ending up with 1,807, which means a 29% oversubscription. So this really helps that, as Mark was said, all six missions will be funded, but the pricing targets, which they have set, were from industry point of view a bit tough. With the funding level we have now, with the subscription level from the different nations, this will work. For us as well, that some of the missions, distribution of the money, how the nations put it, are fitting very well to our setup. So I take as an example the Arctic mission, which again is climatic change protection, Sweden took the lead. It's clear for us that our Swedish product in terms of platform fits very well. And Germany joined with about 20% of the volume, a bit less. And before we had a bit of headache because we would have needed support for Sweden in the optical system for satellite from our Oberpfaffenhofen site. Germans did exactly what we need. They put the money in so that we could get this. So overall, I mean, really a very good good starting position for the office which we have in front. Last comment, perhaps, there are ministerial conferences which are more prolongation of what has been decided before. The next one will be of that type, and there are ministerial conferences where really decisive decisions are made for new programs. Then first half, the first 60% of these programs are funded in this one and the rest in the next one. And this conference was such a decisive one which really shapes the we can clearly say in all these really shaping points, steps of the gateway, it fits perfectly to our plans. Among gateway, simple message which was kept there several times was it will come later anyhow. Nobody in Europe and Asia. So Trump's target to bring Americans back to the war, nobody believes that NASA really put a focus on it. Everybody believes it will come. Everybody believes as well it will come later. Because at this time period, next 5 years, the U.S. will fully focus on bringing back to the moon. Yeah, this has a few additional comments.
Very good. Now I understand from Martina that I should moderate the Q&A session, right?
Yeah,
very good. So now you need to unmute your phone again, and of course we're open for questions. Please mention your pickup and mention your name, right?
Yes, hi everybody. This is Adrian Pei from Commerzbank. Actually, a couple of questions. First of all, given that obviously some parts have been quite optimistic, some parts obviously you would have wished for better German contribution. Nevertheless, I was wondering whether that has any influence what has been reported so far on your targets, 1.5 billion order intake for 2020. And secondly, there was also a discussion I read somewhere in the papers of ESA about the Space Rider project, probably as kind of future launcher concept. Is there anything that you could see as a potential participation or anything that might be of interest at a later stage? And thirdly, I perceive, correct me if I'm wrong, however, that actually Hera and Copernicus are obviously the main projects, but anyway, on the, let's say, portfolio of projects would be really helpful to have some kind of short overview on what will be the, let's say, project life cycle, if you want so, and the overall volume that we should expect for OHB potentially coming out of it.
Yeah. Okay, sure. First on this, all the how was our mental state? When I went back from it, I would describe it as euphoric. So if Markus sounded too here's good, there's not too good. I really think this paves the way for significant order intake for us, and things which have been not signed yet are either not that much in our focus or they will be chances later on. So I take two things which Marco mentioned, the L5 space weather mission. We always promoted that there should be a stepped approach between HERA and the L5 mission. HERA in terms of technology is much more mature, while L5 in terms of the payload, the instrument, has a technological readiness level which, from our point of view, would not have allowed a full funding now. And the nations actually followed exactly this approach. They have put a small money now on L5. Instruments will be further developed. The real decision on L5 will be next in this year, and we will be back, and we will be back with the offer. On the order intake, I mean, this is not a session where we will give a guidance, but if our order intake next year would be 1.5 billion, I would be pretty much disappointed. This gives you a bit of feeling. because coming back to the division, the typical mission duration for the different missions which we have here are, let's say, 4 years for the very short ones and 6 years more for the longer ones. But need to see there is within this period another ministerial. So, for example, if you take HERA, target was 120, target for the next ministerial conference was 160. Now we have already 158, that's good, but this is money for 3 years out of this program. And then next money will come with next ministerial conference. Once the mission is started, these follow-on decisions are kind of a no-brainer. If you don't mess it up totally, then the nations will give the second tranche of the funding in the next ministerial conference without any big discussion. So the big chunk for us as well is Copernicus, where per mission there's a volume depending a bit on, I don't want to go now mission by mission and so on, but let's say the individual missions in Copernicus all lay somewhere between 450 and 600 per mission minimum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's quite substantial. I really believe that we, with this ministerial conference, we have a good baseline that we will have an order intake next year, which will support further growth of the.
Yes, hello.
Space Rider is a very particular one. This runs through ESA, but actually more than 80% of the funding of Space Rider is coming from one nation, which is Italy. So it's more a national program. The ESA constitution allows it. It's more a national program being managed by ESA.
For us, it's not really an opportunity.
No, it's not really an opportunity.
Maybe a smaller role in Milan at one stage, but I guess this is already divided up by TAS Italy and Avio, right?
Yeah, mainly Avio. So some of the programs are somehow earmarked. I mean, take HERA in our case. I mean, the likelihood that there will be a competitive offer on HERA is 2%, same a bit like on Space Rider, that's very clear to whom some of the programs are really earmarked and are close to a direct negotiation approach.
All right, so thank you.
Hello, it's Alex Hornstein from the DZ Bank. I have also two questions, please. First of all, I read your comment on Bloomberg, Mr. Fuchs, with regard to Copernicus, and it was quoted that you said something like the competition is not getting any less severe, such a way that only budgets are getting bigger, and therefore you expect it to be easier. So I wonder whether something has changed, or was that kind of a general remark that you have made before, or has there been any outcome or any thing that we should consider out of the last couple of states with regard to the competitive field here. And the second
I can answer this quite quickly. In my view, the message is, even though we have more money, as Lutz said, this means, yes, all the six competitions will be done in parallel, and we decided, I guess, this is just our feeling, everything will be probably going on. However, that does not mean that the competition is not taking place. So the bottom line is that the cake is bigger, but it's still going to be divided by the different industrial teams. So I think that if you would talk to other bidders at this point, they would basically say the same. We're now going even further. The fight will be as tough as it always was supposed to be. So nothing has changed in terms of the competitive edge of this process.
Okay, good. With regard to the upcoming 1.5 billion orders plus for 2020, I was wondering, is there any chance to see a fraction of that materializing already into 2020, or is that all something for 21 and especially 22 and the following?
You mean in terms of revenues?
Yes, exactly, and therefore also in terms of...
Obviously, we speak about this year anyhow. And in terms of revenues, we expect that some of these contracts will come in in Q2, I mean, it's always difficult to predict, but I would, again, without giving a guidance, but there should be a lower three-digit million portion. I'm looking to my left, where I quote this. The lower three-digit million portion should go to the revenue in 2020.
So maybe I understood it a bit wrong, but I understand that a small three-digit number out of the 1.5 billion of order intake within 2020 will potentially materialize within the year. Is that
the correct? Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So the bulk of it is 2021, or more likely 2022, 2023. I just want to get a feeling how far on the timeline it is pushed to the right, or are we going to see a kind of a bulk at the beginning of the period, or how should we think about it?
No, you will see the growth from 20 to 21 to 22, 23 will then be more or less on the same level. So that's a bit of distribution, I would say.
Okay, and order intake you expect by Q2 roughly plus or minus?
No, this depends. I mean, many of the ESA contracts will be in Q2. That's what we expect. And it always a bit if there's a protest and so on. But one of the big chunks which we have next year as well is Galileo transition satellite. And this likely will be later in the year. Galileo guys are slipping a bit. That's not what we discussed here. It's not part of the ministerial. It comes on top. But the Galileo transition satellites will be later in the year in terms of order intake.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, further questions?
Yeah, I'm Richard Schramm from HSBC. Just a question on your upbeat comment on the segment enabling and support, that obviously these R&D program was agreed on for Ariane 6. Can you elaborate a bit more how this helps you to fill the capacities at MT, because it looks as it's only in first stage for the R&D department, but this was your major concern, right? So will this be also for the next years, or is it more a short-term thing, only for 1 or 2 years to fill the gaps here? Thank you. I can't hear at the moment, sorry.
This obviously will help us a lot in our engineering and development department at MT in order to fill the gaps in these areas, and also improve the forecast for the next 2 or 3 years for MT itself, for the whole company.
But it's not really a help for the launcher as such, so the number of launches yet is not improving with this support here, right?
No, the transition. I mean, the number of launches obviously improves because there are many satellites approved. So the Copernicus satellites will launch on either Ariane 6 or Vega. So there is obviously demand coming from the institutional side that benefits from the overall story, but what really is now secure is the transition of Ariane 5, the ramp down going up to Ariane 6, and what really helps us a lot is that the engineering improves the product of Ariane 6. It will be still the same Ariane 6, but it will be, of course, a launcher that has now really visible support from the institutional system.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, other questions?
Yes, I have one follow-up, Adrian Pill from Commerzbank, is actually on the margin profile. Again, maybe a good reminder, so I think this was to some extent discussed, but obviously you still talked about in the past building up the own value creation, and are these projects suited for that so that we can actually expect your margin profile to improve when those kick into revenues?
At least this necessary conference makes sure that we, well, make no outcomes of the necessary conference results can expect for the next year, or we will expect for the next year, steady growth of the overall company and the top line. But there is a margin. This depends on the quality of our proposals we have to deliver, and as a also still there, so we are still, and we and our internal targets are clear to improve our margins, and this is helpful, these results, for sure, but I cannot give you a real clear figure how much this will improve our margins.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, further questions? I'm looking in the round here. Any further comments on our side here to make? Again, feel free to ask. And of course, if you come to further questions, please feel free to call Martina. She will clarify, or Kurt, or me, or Günther. There are no further questions. I would like to thank you for your attention. And again, thank you for the support for OHB. And just can say that I'm going into the weekend very happily after this conference. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, everybody.